brilliant week-long morning dance of the planets and our moon, paired with warmer nights and a challenging evening conjunction and close encounter at the end of the month, make May a wonderful month to get out under the stars. Welcome to Observing with Webb, where a high school astronomy teacher tells you what you're looking at, why it's so cool, and what you should check out later this month at night. All right, we have May. May is not usually a very exciting month, but we have a couple things going on. I will start off talking about the planets that we can see and then the close encounters of those and the moon, and then go a little bit into the constellations. So let's start off with the planets. Alright, so in the, at sunset, we again have Venus off in the west. Now, this is really your last chance to check out Venus, and that's because it gets lower and lower in the west every evening. It starts out about 35 degrees above the horizon, and it drops out of sight about the last week of May, because it's going into its inferior conjunction, which means that's when it is between the Sun and the Earth. It's orbiting the Sun in the same direction as the Earth is, but it's inside of our orbit. So the inferior conjunction is when it's between us and the Sun. Now, if you have a telescope, what you can see is it's going to shift from a thick crescent down to a very, very thin crescent by the end of the month. Now, if you miss this, if you miss Venus, here's what you got to do. You got to get up before sunrise in June all the way through December. You've basically got the rest of the year, because it's going to be a morning star for the rest of the year. But again, sunset planet is Venus. Very easy to find, just the brightest thing that you see out there. The other set of planets is in the morning. You've got Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars. Now, the main show in the mornings is this lineup, and what you got to do is get out there well before sunrise. Now, sunrise is about 6 a.m. at the beginning of the month and 5:30 in the morning at the end of the month, and just start by finding the brightest spot in the south. Now, that's going to be Jupiter. And then from there, you can find Saturn and Mars. Now, Saturn will be the bright spot that is consistently less than a fist width to the left of Jupiter all month. Mars has a different story, though. It starts out about 20 degrees, or two fist widths, away from Saturn, and then moves further and further left each day. And it approaches about 40 degrees, or about four fist widths, by the end of the month. So Mars is sort of moving away from those other two. And of course, if you have binoculars or a telescope, you can see the moons of Jupiter and the rings of Saturn. But that's it for the planets, essentially. Now, Mercury does sort of make an appearance later, but, well, let's talk about the events now. So as far as events go, first of all, we've got the moon phases. Now, the full moon is on the 7th. That means it is visible all night. Then you've got the last quarter moon on the 14th, visible from midnight and into the morning. The new moon is on the 22nd, so that's when we have the darkest skies. So the second half of the month is really the best for looking out there. And then the first quarter moon is on the 29th. And we've got three happenings. Okay. Now the first one is actually a week-long event. So it starts on the 11th and lasts until the 17th. And this is going to be a morning show. So you have to get out after 4 a.m., but before 5:30 a.m. each morning, or any of the mornings, really. And what you do is you enjoy the lineup of Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter. Mars is on the left, Saturn in the middle, Jupiter on the right. This will be toward the south. But also make sure that you enjoy the moon crashing the party during this week. Now, the waning gibbous moon will be about 14 degrees to the right of Jupiter on the 11th. And then the next night on the 12th, it will be 3 degrees directly below Jupiter. They're basically lined up right there. And then on the 8th, then it's 8 degrees. The moon is 8 degrees below and to the left of Saturn on the 13th. So it's between Saturn and Mars. And then on the 14th, it's closer to Mars. It becomes a third quarter moon and is about a fist width to the right of Mars. And then it moves to about 4 degrees down and to the left of Mars on the next morning. Now the next two mornings, the 16th and the 17th, the moon is more of a crescent. And it creeps away from the planetary lineup, but it is still part of that morning party. So again, get out in the mornings on the 11th to the 17th. Make sure you find Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter, and then the moon hanging out around in there. Now, we were talking about how Venus is sort of fading away this month, and part of that is that on May 21st, there's a conjunction between Venus and Mercury. If we remember, Mercury is also orbiting the Sun, but further inside that orbit, and it doesn't get too far away from the Sun from our perspective. So if you get out after sunset, watch the western sky, and of course, as always, well, not always, but whenever Venus is up, Venus is the first point of light that you will see. And then as it gets darker, now Venus will be low, so it might be kind of hard to see this anyway, but as it gets darker, see if you can find Mercury. And the way you do that is look about one pinky width down and to the left of Venus. So find Venus, down and to the left about one pinky width. That right there is Mercury. And then you can say you've seen the two inferior planets in one sight. All right, again, that's on the 21st, okay? And then the last thing for this month is the 23rd to the 24th. Well, actually, that's only 2 days later, and it's actually going to deal with Venus, Mercury, and the Moon. So get out after sunset and watch the western sky on the 23rd. Again, the first point of light you'll see is Venus, and as it gets darker, see if you can find Mercury and the very young and thin crescent moon. Mercury is about 3 degrees up and to the left of Venus, and the moon is about 5 degrees below Venus. So on the 23rd, Mercury a little bit above, the moon a little bit below. Now the moon is very, very thin, so it's going to be tough to see. Now that being said, if you have trouble on the 23rd, try again the next night, because on the 24th, the moon will have moved considerably higher, and it's going to be thicker, easier to see, and it's really just 6 degrees up and to the left of Mercury, with Venus being the lowest but also brightest light. And that's it for the events. Remember, 11th to the 17th is the morning lineup with the moon. 21st is Venus and Mercury in conjunction, and the 23rd to the 24th is the Moon joining Venus and Mercury for a close encounter. All right, let's move on a little bit to some constellations. Are there patterns in our skies? Are patterns only in our eyes? Or is it a constellation? I don't like to spend too much time on the constellations, being an audio medium here. However, if you're looking after dinner or before bed, you might be able to just look straight up and see Leo, the Big Dipper, and Bootes. Now, Leo will be high in the south, almost straight above you. It has a backward question mark with a right triangle to the left of that question mark. And if you look above Leo, behind you and high in the sky, you should find the Big Dipper, 7 very bright stars that form a spoon shape. Now, if you take the handle of the Dipper and you follow its curve to the next bright star you see, which is about 30 degrees away, that is Arcturus. Hence, astronomers use the term follow the arc to Arcturus. Now, that is the brightest star in Bootes, which looks like a kite, but the Greeks thought was a shepherd. Okay. Now, take that same curve from the handle. You follow the arc to Arcturus, but then follow it another 20 degrees to speed on to Spica. That is the brightest star in Virgo, one of my favorite constellations, since it reminds me of the Dickinson Mermaid. Now, if you're getting up before work, you can, somewhere like 5 a.m., something like that, if you look straight up, you can see Lyra, Hercules, the Hercules cluster. Now, if you look pretty much straight above you, and find the brightest star up there, you'll notice a parallelogram attached to it. This is the brightest star this is Vega, the brightest star of Lyra the Harp, and the brightest star in the summer sky. Now, next to that is a keystone-shaped constellation called Hercules, and on the right side of that keystone is a small cluster of stars known as the Hercules Cluster. It's a collection of hundreds of stars right on the outskirts of our galaxy, and given how high it is in the sky right now, you might even be able to catch its faint fuzziness with your naked eye, but a set of binoculars or a small telescope will really help you see it. All right, now don't forget that this podcast is found on my Podbean page, mrweb.podbean.com. It's also on Stitcher and iTunes, and there's also a video version of this on my YouTube channel, Mr. Webb PV, MrWebbPV. And I can also be found on Twitter and Instagram at Mr. Webb PV. And my planetarium, the school district's planetarium, is at PV Planetarium on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we're doing stuff like this all the time, trying to do some more stuff, reaching out for the, staying at home thing that we're doing right now. So with that, I wish you all very clear, dark skies for the month of May.